Hello, welcome to Simply Syndicated Gaming News. All the E3 stuff has died down. We're actually a show removed from it now. It feels like mid-January in... Never mind, I don't know where I was going with that. After Christmas and all that stuff. And you never mind. Hello, everybody. We've got lots of news to talk about.
I like it when I'm not the stupid one.
It's usually me, isn't it?
It's usually me, I think.
Well, me today. So that's a good one. So let's kick off with some news about Steam. There's a few things here.
They're knocking out things. You know, last week it was mostly Steam, and now they're pushing things out that are rate of knots. It's amazing.
Yeah. So this week, they're regulating achievements to fight fake games.
I feel like Trump has ruined the word fake.
Yeah, I do as well.
Yeah.
It's such a shame.
It's going to be a while before we can take it back.
It really will, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sort of on the heels of the, essentially, we're taking away the filter and you guys figure it out from last week or the last show when we talked about that. Mm-hmm. It seems that obviously the oversight isn't completely gone because they are doing something.
Well, yeah, this was what I was hoping for, was that, you know, they said they were going to be putting more tools out there to help the sort of the cream rise to the top and to help people make better decisions about things. And my immediate, you know, even though I was somewhat defensive of them last week, my, you know, response to that, to their, you know, promising to make improvements was, yeah, right, big talk. But they do seem to be pushing out, at least in the last week, quite a lot of features, and this is the latest one, because while I do appreciate that Steam doesn't put too much importance on achievements, unlike, say, Microsoft, the amount of games that are just achievement farmers out there is kind of ridiculous.
Does that matter?
To some people.
Yeah, okay.
Not the kind of people we know.
Right.
But, yeah, there are people who just go all in for achievements so that they can... Because Steam does have a point system where you can unlock upgrades to your profile page to put more showcases and choose new things to show on your profile, which, again, you know, maybe I'm just using Steam wrong, but I've never really looked at anyone else's profile.
Neither have I. I didn't know we had profiles.
You got a profile, yeah.
All right. Didn't know. That's how important it is.
So apparently this is... Hopefully going to stop. So what are they doing there? Achievements like trading cards will now be subject to a confidence metric that prevents features from kicking in until it's been determined that a game is legitimate.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, and until it reaches that metric, games will be limited to 100 achievements, and those achievements won't count towards your achievement count and can't be displayed on Steam profile achievement showcases. So... Well, hopefully this will, you know, disincentivize.
It's something if you refuse to absolutely have any control over what you're fucking selling, Steam. It's a step in a direction. The right direction is one of curating your own store. But as they're not going to do that, this is something in lieu of that, I suppose. I really hate the idea. It's like, let's have some users ripped off, and when there's enough, they'll tell all the others. And then that will be their money that has been wasted on that, not ours. So I'm kind of meh with Steam at the moment. Just, they've done a really stupid thing, and now it's sort of backpedaling from doing a really stupid thing. And I don't know how they're going to be able to do that, really.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I just think... It's just a quick point. I mean, that I think I said last week, I think it's significant that they released that information while E3 was on.
Oh, yeah.
It did stink of a let's bury this press release.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was, you know, that big announcement. It wasn't a press release or anything. It was just a thread on the, you know, on the Steam forums. So, yeah.
But hey, they're doing creator homepages, so that's exciting.
It's kind of interesting.
I don't know. It's just one level up in the database, isn't it? Really? It's just like, instead of showing you... How do I see one of these things? Anyway, I'm on Steam.
There's how many? There's a bunch of... They haven't all signed on to it. Funny enough, one of the things I would have been interested in, because I thought, whenever I saw this, I thought, okay, developer pages, that would be, you know... interesting because I want to follow developers. If I like one game a developer does, that I might like others. But the publisher pages, why? Why? Because publishers, you know, publish many games of huge, you know, differences in quality. You know, it's very, very weird.
It's like being a fan of a movie studio.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of a franchise, instead of like I'm a fan of you know, I was gonna say the DC universe, but yeah, instead of being like, I'm like a fan of Warner Brothers, like really all of it without exception.
That would be weird, not wouldn't helpful. It? Yeah,
yeah. But funny enough, the one developer or publisher rather that I was interested in was Bethesda, and they haven't signed up to this yet, so they don't have any of these pages because it's in beta at the moment. And even the ones who have like signed up to it, they're not really taking full advantage of it, as far as I can see. The idea is that they're supposed to be able to separate like their games out into, say, genres or franchises and things like that.
Yeah, but they should really approach it like, I suppose, like being a fan of a record label could be, I suppose, because people are a fan of Motown or Apple or Roadrunner or something
even
like this. So
with record labels, you'd still have a much more confined sort of catalog of stuff, like Motown and stuff like that. But you know, you wouldn't be a fan of like EMI
I'm
really into Sony at the moment. I find that their stuff, Sony, of their
I think it can't be that big. It has to be smaller. Like I think, you know, Bethesda is a good example for all of us because we all give an extraordinary amount of money to Bethesda and are going to in short order. So
your little bitch boys.
Yeah, literally. Because we did go through that patch of like, I can't keep playing Bethesda games because it's sad and I need to play other people's games. But they keep making games I love.
You said you didn't get Prey last year specifically because you were like, you knew you were going to get Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
You didn't want to be just playing Bethesda games.
Yeah, I don't want to be Bethesda's little whipping girl, really, you know, but I now own Prey and I'm going to be giving them all my money for Fallout 76 and the new Wolfenstein game after that. So it does seem sad, but it's like they're making games I want to play. But I mean, this is kind of beside the point. I mean, for them, it's a good idea. It's an idea because sometimes Bethesda, you know, they're known for making Fallout, but perhaps you didn't know about Prey. So if you're on our curated page on Steam, perhaps you would also like to try this thing that we make. I think if you break it down enough, it makes sense, especially for maybe indie developers who have maybe one or two games and you know them for one but not really the other one. It makes sense on that level, but like say the Sony developer page, that is kind of like too big.
Mm-hmm. And also it's kind of sad if you click on the Valve developer page because not a lot there lately.
No.
Yeah.
I found my Steam profile. I don't know why anyone would want to see it. Or indeed why I would ever want to see it or care about what is on it. But
I have put some work into mine, but usually it's when like there's been sales on and I am occasionally suckered into the trading cards, selling them on the Steam Workshop for like or Steam the community market and getting like 3p.
Oh, I do own some cards here.
Let me have a look and see if I've got some cards.
I've got three.
You don't have a profile, Emma.
What do you mean I don't have a profile? I've got an account.
Well, you've got an account, but because you have never once looked into it, you have no profile. When you click on your name, it comes up that this Agent Hyam, your profile picture is a question mark.
That's me, that is. I'm an enigma.
Yeah, this user has not yet set up their Steam community profile. If you know encourage him or her to set up their profile and join in on the gaming.
Fair enough. Okay. Look, I'm not a part of your system, man. I do my own thing.
Are you going to throw it on the ground?
Yeah, I am. Not a part of your system.
Yep.
I'm clicking on that button while we're on the topic.
I did it earlier.
I'm clicking on the button. So Steam have added the facility to see how much money you've spent on Steam.
Do not click that.
I did.
Why? This way magic
wise. Because there was a button.
This is Pandora's button. You can't put it back.
No, not Pandora's button. In her box, there was some hope.
yeah, this is just an evil button. This is Satan's button.
This is a terrible button. Shall we do Price's Right rules?
I'm pressing the button. Hang on. I've got a once fucking two factor. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm already signed in. Oh, no.
Really hate two factor authentication. Like, I get why it is, but.
Yeah. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts.
I had no idea it would be so high.
Yep.
I mean, it's not crazy high. Yours will be much higher.
Yeah.
But it's I didn't expect it to be that much. It's $528.19.
Oh, for fuck's sake, you absolute prick.
And that's since...
All right, higher or lower? Higher or lower?
Higher.
Higher. Higher. Clearly higher.
Come on, put in a bet.
I'm probably going to say double. I'm going to say you're over a grand.
Rich?
Higher though. I kind of want to go with $2,000.
Okay. We happy there?
No, but I think it's more. Hank, how long have you been on Steam?
I have been on Steam. Oh, that is a good question. How long have I been on Steam?
You've got 365 games on Steam, you said?
Yep. Not counting DLC.
DLC.
I've been on for 9 years. I have a 9 years... year of service badge on my profile.
Yeah, I'm looking for mine. I'm member since 2007, so I'm 11 years.
Right.
Although irritatingly.
Oh, I wildly underestimated this.
See, yeah. And the number of games that I've bought on, it has never been my main game purchasing platform. Not ever. Yep. I've mainly...
Would you like it in US dollars?
Yeah, go on then.
$3,319.46.
That's not bad.
No, here's an interesting fact. They split it into three categories: total spend, old spend, and PW spend. PW spend, I read into this. PW is the system they use in China.
Right.
So basically, nobody outside of China is going to have anything in their PW spend. I think it also, like, for some games like Counter-Strike and things like that. Old spend is money spent before 2015, because in 2015, Valve brought in some new regulations. Old spend only shows the money spent before April 17th, 2015, which is around the time Valve brought in measures that restrict users who have not spent at least $5 from trading, sending friend invites, or using the market, which is done to cut down on bots. So before 2015, I had spent $2,254. So most of my spending was in the earlier days.
I see. You sort of slowed down and stuff.
While I was, you know, back then when every Steam sale was like, oh, I haven't got this, I haven't got this, I haven't got this. Let's add that all to the thing. And, you know, nowadays I buy a few games a year. But it still hurts.
Well, do you want? I can tell you a statistic that will make you feel better about yourself. Because, as you know, I keep a spreadsheet that lists all my games and what I paid for them. And that means that in the blink of an eye, I can highlight.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I can highlight a bit of a column and I can tell you how much I've spent on physical Switch games since the release of the Switch.
Which is just over a year.
Just over a year. And I can give you that figure in pounds, or I'm set up to do it in dollars. If I've already done the conversion, if you like that.
Let's go in dollars.
Yeah, to keep it simple.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're on 3,000, was it 300?
3,300, let's go.
After 11 years of Steam.
Yep.
I'm on $1,148.86.
Oh, how is she not seriously damaged you yet?
I know, right? Mm. And that's Switch games. That's a disturbing number to have worked out. Why have I done that?
Yeah, why have you done that? Would you gentlemen like to know what my spend is?
Well, considering the only game I know you have, I gave you.
Well, I'll say excluding that, but I do have other games. I did play Steam for a little while. I mean, say very rarely, but I did buy games. I mean, this is things that I bought previous to me having the Xbox and things like that. So there were some games I played. I did buy games. I have not, I would say, including the one that you gave me, I have 16 games in my Steam library. Would you like to guess how much?
$30.
Yeah, let's go. I'll go higher. I'll go 60. I'll double it.
$139.53.
I win.
See that? It's shocking, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
No, as well as this, I will point out that this this page, that it only takes into account money that you have spent, that Steam has taken from your card, your credit or debit card. Mm. Or money you have put into your Steam wallet. It does not take into account games that you have bought elsewhere and activated on Steam. So you've got all your Humble Bundles, you know, all your good old games before they had their own client, all those kind of things. So that number, even the biggest number, is still a conservative one.
I'm just working out what I've spent. Because
you two have got so many more games than me, just full stop. I look at my Xbox games, like the amount of... I've got 117 Xbox games. Hmm. So you've got double... double what I've got.
I could play a different game every day of the year at this point.
So you guys have got so much more games than me.
I've spent $620 on 3DS games since I've had that. So that was at the same time as spending $1,100 on fucking Switch games. Mm. Oh, let's add up the GameCube ones. That's 170. I don't have many GameCube games. That's the thing.
There weren't a huge lot of them. Tiny discs.
Yeah, PlayStation games is about $700, and that's over a few years. I don't know how long I've had the PlayStation. I think it had been out for a year or... Was it two before I got it? It might have been two. I think it was the second Christmas or something. Can't remember now. I know I got it very late because there was a lot of crossover.
God, we shouldn't just added up all the games that I own total. Like, at all. That's including like the ones I got for the PS2, a couple of ones I got for the Wii. I have 159 total. That's it. I feel like such a pauper next to you two.
Get good.
Yeah, get good. Spend money. Yeah.
It's not about being... I've always said this about collections. It's not about how much money you've got. It's about a fucked up set of priorities. That's what it's about. I've got no more money than you have. I've just got no discipline. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's a lack of self-control. And an attraction to shiny things. That's what I suffer from in life anyway, in general.
I've just spent money on other things. You are talking to someone who's got a complete set of mini NFL helmets.
There you go. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. If you'd not spent money on the NFL, then you could have bought more games, you see? It's priorities. Some people buy food and pay bills and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, that's
what Chuck's for.
Yeah. I'll have to get him onto some of ours. That'd be handy.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move
thanks,
on.
Steam. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you, Steam. You've just depressed us a lot now. Yep. I still love all those games. And there's actually, you know what? I've spent far more than that on Switch games because I've not put any of the limited run games ones on that list because they haven't arrived yet.
Do you know what, though? Life is short.
Exactly.
Play games.
I'm playing them. I'm not just, like, keeping them sealed in the box and trying to flog them or anything like that.
These are games I'm playing. Happy, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares?
Exactly. It's keeping other people alive. So let's talk about Sony now, because they've been having a shitter of a week, to be perfectly honest. I read a headline today. I can't remember where it was, but they used the word hellscape to describe Sony's Twitter page. Like,
that's beautiful.
Really? Sony's Twitter page is a hellscape. And part of me thinks, God, if we ever get to see actual literal hell on earth, you're going to be very upset.
It would have made that scene in Event Horizon know, the do you see bit. It's just people typing on keyboards like, ah!
Just imagine a journalist stood on the edge of a lake of fire saying, well, this is much worse than Sony's Twitter page. Just...
Yeah, I had this.
I love demons.
We're here talking to Jeff the Demon. Well, talking, not really. He is currently ripping me.
Yeah.
The game that I'm so intrigued by, but it looks like absolute dog shit. Have you seen Agony?
Oh yes, for people terrified of vaginas. Yeah.
Yeah, like there's a bit. I mean, because I want to play it. It looks so dreadful. But I'm not prepared to spend money on it. You know, it's got Games with Gold written all over it at some point. So yeah. I'm not spending one penny on it at the moment. But yeah, I've seen a let's plays of it, and oh good grief, someone needs to see a psychiatrist.
Yeah. Yeah. Sartre said hell is other people. Whoever this guy is, he thinks hell is vaginas.
Really?
Yeah, everything is like just vaginas with
big fannies. Fannies.
I've never had that bad a negative experience with one that I would.
Whoever made this has
clearly, yeah, someone has. Like, what happened in your life? There are so many things.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sony. Do you remember Sony?
I remember them.
Makers of the PS4, blockers of Fortnite accounts, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Hey,
brief aside, I've been playing Fortnite.
How is it?
Do you know it's really not a bad game?
Yeah, I'm sure it isn't.
He's going to be on his YouTube channel doing all the dances on there now.
I haven't
me so fucking long before I realized, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah.
I kept seeing news clips of, you know, people doing that fucking dance.
The Backpack Kid one, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, it's a funny dance. It took so long. And then I saw them doing the one from Turk's Dance from Scrubs. And I was like, that's Turk's Dance from Scrubs. What are you doing?
Yeah, but take another aside. At the air show this weekend, there were stalls up. And there was one bloke there who exclusively just sold knockoff Fortnite T-shirts.
Good on him.
Yeah,
and that was all he was selling, just Fortnite shirts. At the air show. And he was making money.
Of course he was. Of course he was. People can't part with their money fast enough for this game. It's ridiculous. I haven't spent anything on it yet.
Oh dear.
I am very conscious that
you're
desire
borderline.
To do so is growing.
Oh dear, we're losing him, Mike. We're losing him.
However, there are still things that stand in my way. I realize
don't have to do it.
Yeah, you don't have to do it. You really don't have to do it. It really doesn't affect the gameplay.
This is not Emma's, you know, X-Files game on mobile that, you know, was pressuring you.
Yeah, it's not like, wait 16 hours, motherfucker, or pay us £1.59 right now and you could see what happens. Yeah, just don't be back here in a week saying, Alison Family, the puddle of my own piss, like that woman, that girl from last week.
But yeah, it's a fun game and I'm kind of enjoying just dipping in and out of it. I've certainly not been playing it for hours on end because it's too repetitive for that, for my liking. But it's been fun. My highest ranking so far is 6th.
That's pretty good.
Which
out
I achieved by sort of just hiding the fuck away from everybody.
Camping is a legitimate strategy.
Yeah, cowardice is absolutely valid.
I would argue I wasn't camping. I was genuinely actually looking for somebody to shoot for most of the game and couldn't find anybody. and then eventually the storm kept shrinking and it's like, well, I'm doing pretty well here. They're all having a smashing time killing each other and I'm just lost in the fucking woods. But
Hunger Game rules. Don't go wading in. Just let them get on with it and you pick up the pieces.
Exactly. Just step back a bit. Why rush in? Why rush in?
Yeah. I mean, so many people do not take in, you know, this is the battle royale genre. So many people would really benefit from watching the film Battle Royale.
Yeah.
You'll find that the dead fuckers were the ones who tended to go looking for each other.
Exactly. 99 other people have to die. I don't have to kill 99 other people.
Absolutely.
Do you know what? That's the problem. When they remake Battle Royale in a couple of years, which they will because
they
we have to remake
already.
All films. Oh, yeah. So it's just going to be a load of footage of people sitting in hedges waiting for each other to come out because they will be playing Fortnite.
I do want to know now, I'd love to see if they're keeping track of the number of Fortnite games where the winner has had one kill?
I don't know.
Because it's bound to happen eventually, where it's just one guy who's managed to avoid the other, you know, the other 99 have killed 98 of the others. And so there's just two guys left.
It's entirely feasible. After dying in sixth place, when you're killed, you have the choice of you can watch the game play out or you can return to the lobby and start a new game. Because I finished sixth, I thought, fuck it, let's see how this goes. And the level of gameplay, watching the final two people building forts and running on platforms through the sky as they're firing and building and firing and building and jumping up and doing all kinds of things, I just thought, I'm never going to win this.
Does remind me somewhat of the Call of Duty and Battlefield days, the old days when you had, I can't remember the specific name of the mode, but it was where whenever, you know, you had one life and wherever you were killed, you had to spectate your team.
Yeah.
And it was the ones where you could spectate any player. It didn't matter, you know, whether they were on your team or others. And because you couldn't communicate with them, it came into the point where you would always end up where both players were camping on opposite sides of the map, waiting for each other.
Well,
and you're just sitting there screaming at them, please do something while the timer kicked down. I suppose that is the benefit of the Battle Royale.
Exactly, the shrinking game
formula,
space.
The shrinking map, forcing people together.
Because I found
actually could have saved us a lot of time in the old days.
Yeah, I found it. I built a great little trap. I built this little hut with a door on the front and then hid around the back of it and waited for someone to run inside looking for me. And then I shot him, which was great. So I've had some fun with it. But I don't know, I've got it on everything now. I'm starting to get concerned.
This is becoming slightly Skyrim-esque. It's coming out on everything, and I've successfully managed to own it on nothing so far.
Well, I think so far the best platform is the Switch. Well, actually, no, the PS4 probably is, because that's got the better graphics, but you can't crossplay then, so fuck that shit. So then it's
the Switch.
Which
brings us right back to the news.
Yeah. Basically, you still can't crossplay from the PS4. Ex-Sony dev says it's all about the money. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Sony's non-response last week, that kind of made everyone, you know, I'm sure most of us managed to swallow our vomit, but there would have been some seepage.
Yeah, it was a pretty shitty response.
And John Smedley, which it sounds like a name I've heard before. I'm going to Google him.
Ex-boss of PlanetSide 2 and H1Z1 developer.
Well, the number one response is John Smedley, official store of the world's finest knitwear. So maybe that's just a side concern. I don't know.
Yeah, probably not the same dude there. But yeah, I've said this time and time again, it's not in Sony's interest to allow crossplay.
No, not
in the slightest. They don't.
Am I the only one who, at the same time, while Microsoft and Nintendo and the PC lot and Epic are bitching about this, I'm kind of like, even if I were playing, I don't care what format the person I'm playing against is on. All I care about is that there are enough players on my format that I can get a match. And Fortnite is such a fucking success that there is no risk of that becoming a problem.
What Sony are doing is, it's all about peer pressure. Statistically, the chances are your mates have already got PS4s and they want you to think, I want to play with them, therefore I need a PS4. If you can think, well, if I can get the Xbox and still play Fortnite with my mates on the PS4, then you might get an Xbox. And Sony don't want that. So that's what it's about.
Well, I guess I've just always been an independent thinker. You know, that's why I ended up with HD DVD player. That point kind of defeated itself.
Doesn't always go well.
Doesn't always go well, but I stand by it.
Yes.
Not the player. That's in a bin somewhere.
Again, with new technologies, you have to play Battle Royale rules. You have to see who comes out on top.
Absolutely.
Early commitment is a poor choice in these things. You know, not to disrespect you, Mike. It was the better format.
It was.
But such with Betamax and VHS. Betamax was clearly superior. My parents' wedding was taped on Betamax, and now it's lost forever.
Oh,
that wasn't the best format. The best format was the Philips one, the third one. That nobody right? There were three video formats. There was VHS, the one we all know and love. There was Betamax, the tinier one. And then there was another one, which I want to call V2000. Hang on. V2000 video. Hang on. That's actually coming up. Video 2000. I can't believe we're talking about this.
I was really hoping it was going to be a network site.
Yeah, no, Video 2000. It was a video cassette thing made by Philips. My granddad had one of these. The cassettes were more like audio cassettes, and you could turn them over and record on both sides.
Wow.
But no one but my granddad had one.
Yeah, because I've never heard of it, dude.
Exactly. So
on the Wikipedia page, does it have a, you know, is your granddad also the creator of this thing?
It's not, sadly.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this just your granddad's homebrew VHS machine?
That would have been
good. I call it the V2000, son.
I can record video onto a cassette. Yes, granddad, I'm sure you can.
Yes, developed by Philips and Grundig.
Oh, Grundig, that's a name I haven't heard in many years.
Absolutely, it is. I wonder what happened to them. From Germany.
I don't know. Grundig does sound like something that could happen to you.
They're still going.
It's not good.
They're still going. They have a website and everything. Like a modern company. Yeah, they still make things. There we go. That's great.
So, yes. So, crossplay not coming to Sony. Well, guy does say that with enough pressure, they could change if, you know, the negative press gets bad enough. But I feel like it's out of, you know, pitch fever already. So, yeah. I don't see things changing.
Yeah,
how is it getting worse? Do you know what? They might. What if they were to eventually start thinking this PS4 is at the end of its life? If you haven't got one by now, you don't want one. And maybe it would make them look good to allow crossplay suddenly.
Because I think then if they came up, you know, whenever they come out with a PS5 and then they don't do that, it will make them look even worse.
Yeah, but I think when we get
to people's memories are short. Yeah.
When we get to the next generation, this won't be an issue because no one else will be asking for it either. The reason why Microsoft care is because they don't have the user base. When we get to the next generation, it all resets and Microsoft will become as stingy as PlayStation.
The cycle begins again.
Exactly. So it won't be a problem there. They should just give it up for now and you know, not look as bad. Really, how many sales are you going to lose to potential Fortnite players, etc.? It can't be that many at this point, Owen thought. And even when Fortnite is being pushed, it's being pushed on other platforms. They're pushing that there's now a Switch version or a mobile version. Incidentally, the mobile version is very good.
It was surprising. I hear it runs well. Again, because of the art style they've chosen, it scales well.
Well, more than anything, it is a very playable first-person shooter game on a phone, which that in itself,
weird.
Quite something.
Yeah, I expected it to run well. I mean, these phones are ridiculously powerful for what they are now.
They really are.
You know,
I've seen phones getting HDR screens, and I'm just thinking, it goes back to the times when I've heard about people watching, you know, HD films on their phones, and I'm like, why on your phone?
Because it
needs HDR.
It looks wonderful, apparently. I don't have HDR on my phone, so I don't know. But there you go. New rumors from Sony. Well, the rumors aren't from Sony. That would be an announcement. Rumors are from other people. But what these rumors are suggesting is that PlayStation Now is going to allow downloading for offline play later this year. Yes, please. There
sounds
you go.
Like an interesting idea.
If you do that, I'll get that. How's that as an offer, Sony? That's the service
that would do,
I want.
That would do a lot to allay people's fears of, you know, lag, you know, in streaming.
Absolutely. My problem isn't with the service as such. It's with the technology that the service works on.
This would kind of make it a bit more akin to Game Pass on the Xbox.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, it's like Games with Gold. I mean, you download the game onto your machine and that's it.
Well, PlayStation Plus is Games with Gold. PlayStation Plus allows you to download, you know, two games a month. Well, more than two games usually. But, yeah, this would This would definitely make it a much more, because I'm still kind of amazed that it's lasted this long.
Me too, because it's crap. I mean, I honestly, as it is, I couldn't recommend it to anyone. I have a decent but average internet connection, and it was awful. So you certainly can't play anything fast-paced or action-based or anything like that. Whereas if we can download it and run it locally, problem solved. And just
it removes the one problem. Suddenly, you just have a huge library of games. And if they make it, if they do limit this to, say you can only have one or two games downloaded at once, then that's fair enough. That would disincentivize people just downloading the whole library.
Well, I think you'd only have access to the library while you were paying for it. So there probably wouldn't be a limitation on that because it would be unnecessary. So what if I download 30 games? Plus, who's fitting 30 games onto their PlayStation?
It could be tiny games.
Then they aren't, though.
Itty-bitty games.
And so I would so get this. I would totally get this. I think I'd get more out of it than that YouTube premium thing as well. So
fucking YouTube Red.
Yeah, it came out here and it's frightfully expensive for what it is. But hey, speaking of things getting cheaper, PlayStation are now also offering a lineup of budget games, most of which, annoyingly, I already own.
Yeah.
In one form or another.
Although, Yakuza Kiwami, that means, now whenever you get that, it'll be $19.99, which it already was anyway.
It wasn't, but...
Was it not?
No, because I've been looking at it. It was in the high 20s.
Oh, I got mine in CEX. That's right.
I'm now looking it up.
See what it is on CEX.
It's $19.99 for the Steelbook edition.
Yep, that's the one I got.
Oh, bastard. No, that's on Amazon. That's new.
All right. Okay.
How much for one in a box?
£24. There's no DLC or anything,
Yeah. £24 in a box that doesn't piss me off.
Yeah.
So maybe that will come down in price.
So the list is for this first ring. I'm amazed it taken them this long to come up with it, Because doesn't the Switch already have, or am I imagining that?
No, the 3DS does, but the Switch doesn't.
The 3DS does, okay. But we got Bloodborne, Drive Club, Infamous Second Son, Killzone Shadowfall, Little Big Planet 3, Ratchet and Clank, Last of Us Remastered, Uncharted 4, Battlefield 4, Doom, Project Cars, Street Fighter 5, both Yakuza games, Zero and Kiwami, and Metal Gear Solid 5.
It's a good selection of games.
For the most part, I think Killzone Shadowfall is just there because it was a launch game, and they're like, okay, we kind of have to pretend that this didn't do badly.
Yeah. But hang on, though. So this is, right, as I look at Yakuza 0 on Amazon, or any of them, it's not this new PlayStation Hits line. That is a separate thing, but it looks like it's showing up as an American thing.
Oh.
Yakuza Kiwami with the PlayStation Hits logo on is
$36.99. That's weird.
It ships from the USA.
Right. Okay.
This is just for Americans so far.
Is it? Greatest Hits. Well, it is, given the prices in dollars, it's $19.99. But I can't imagine this will take long to come over here.
No, it is. You're right. It's the kind of thing that comes across pretty quick.
And hey, maybe they won't just make it £19.99. Oh, wait, they will.
Yeah, they will. I was expecting it to be more, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was just looking on Game to see if they've actually got any that are on there, but no, of course, their games actually go into the far future, so I'd have to scroll through pages to get to games that are recently coming out. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's helpful.
It feels like it's taken, I would have expected this to have happened years ago.
They've always done it, haven't they? In fact, it's always been a popular thing. I remember getting the budget releases on the Amstrad and the like. So, yeah, it's taken them. In fact, as we say,
Xbox have one?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Because they did have the Xbox Classics range. And now I'm wondering if they ever did it for 360.
It's annoying because all the words you've used are things they use to describe the backwards compatibility game library.
Yeah. I have some... I've got a couple of games that are labeled Xbox Classics from the original Xbox library.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've got any of a similar thing from the 360.
Xbox One Hits. Nothing come up for that.
Yeah, I don't think they've got anything.
No, I don't think they've done them. Hmm.
Huh. Well, there you go.
Maybe they'll be next. Yeah.
Well, will they, though, if they didn't do a 360 one? Now I have to look for that. Xbox 360 budget releases? No. Nothing. No, that's it. Although Wikipedia has brought up a list of most expensive computer games to develop. I don't know why that came up.
It's probably going to be GTA 5.
Apparently Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Oh, no. Hang
on. Weird.
It's not sorted in the right.
Oh, yeah, I forget, because for those type of games, they have to pay like licensing fees to all the gun manufacturers.
Star Wars The Old Republic, $200 million. Anyway, we're way off base there. Right, what else do we have? Xbox avatars.
I really want to play with these.
Oh, these are the new ones that look wonderful.
The new, you know, really cool looking ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really want to play with these. They're now live for Xbox Insiders, which I was disappointed to find out that you are not.
No. What do you expect?
Even I've really? Been an Xbox Insider.
I, too, have been an Xbox Insider.
It's not hard. You send
What? Send them an email?
Isn't it?
Well,
not...
no, every so often they put out a form and you're like, okay, here's my gamer thing. Tell me when the thing goes live and I'll download it.
Okay.
You need to apply yourself more.
I do.
Yeah, try harder, Emma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, try harder.
Yeah, these do look wonderful. I wish Sony had something like this, but now they'd just be copying.
They tried. Do you not remember PlayStation Home?
No.
You don't remember PlayStation Home?
No.
PlayStation 3 era thing, massive big hub worlds. You created a character. You were supposed to have like your own room and you decorate it with stuff, you know, achievements or trophies would give you items. You could go into stores and buy clothes, and it was a fucking wasteland.
I don't remember that at all.
PlayStation Home, it died a death.
See,
it was one of those things that came out and it was instantly a joke.
I think the thing is, I got my PS3 3 months ago or something. Right.
Okay. Yeah, if you ever want, yeah, there's probably some fun histories of, you know, PlayStation Home out there and just how sad and pathetic and stillborn it was.
Was it a thing you had to go to?
Oh, yeah, you had to go to it. You had to download it. See, it was basically, it was like a game that you ran that then when you were inside it, you could supposedly run other games from inside it.
Right, that's bullshit straight away.
Yeah, it was crap.
I mean, the Microsoft one is great because it permeates through the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, it was fully integrated.
You know, you don't have to go to it. It's not a separate thing. It's it's right there, and so are all your friends, and you recognize them all, and it's great. This just makes it better.
I do miss having an Xbox. I mean, I have it. I could play with it on this thing on my PC, but, you know, these just look so much better.
I have a Mii. That's the other thing, but they're not as good as this. These look much nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really cool looking. I'm looking forward to eventually, because of my non-insider status, whenever I get to have a go at it.
Do you think you would be more motivated if by default they labeled everyone who wasn't an insider as an Xbox outsider? Like on your profile?
If they wanted to encourage it, they could just make everyone an Xbox insider, couldn't they? Like if Microsoft were actively bothered about making there be more of them, they could just push that out. Sorry.
This is not a time for logic. I was mocking Emma.
Fair enough. I was coming to Emma's defense.
That's not your role here, okay?
Also on Xbox, then.
Yes,
Dead or Alive 6.
Is still an Xbox. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Means I get independent boob jiggle physics for where you guys don't, where someone who is entirely lost on.
Well, this is the thing. No, you don't. Because
Not anymore.
They've decided maybe we don't need to make this game about bouncing tits. Which is essentially what they're all about. And this one, it looks like they're going to have the female characters dressed in clothes.
Yeah, clothing.
Like sensible clothes, not just things with like boob windows and cut right up the poor women's forks, you know. It's
yeah.
Sorry, hold on. Forks?
Forks.
When was the last time you saw a two-pronged fork?
Well, look, you know, I'm not saying it's a good metaphor. It's just, you know.
Love it, though. Never change. Yes.
What have they said here? Global trend for sexualization to be toned down so everyone can play without being embarrassed. The second reason is to avoid the silliness, which is in keeping with the intense fighting entertainment goal.
This is a series which has featured ninjas fighting Halo characters.
I haven't played one since number 2, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I have the RE3 on the Xbox. I just haven't played it. There's a lot of those that I've just ordered and they're on the shelf and I've never played them.
Yeah, so apparently what would be the word? Demure clothing and more realistic, more natural breast movement. Which I mean, I assume they're getting rid of the slider.
The boob physics slider, yeah.
Yeah, the age slider.
To be fair, I think if boobs like that actually existed in real life, they may well move like that. But I think their problem is that there aren't even ever really boobs like that because they're cartoony.
Yeah, I did see someone put it online, like it was for a drawing course, like how to draw female breasts. And it was, you know, side by side, you know, big bubble balloon boobs and then realistic, you know, downward sweeps and everything. And it was like, oh,
yeah,
someone should send this to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
a lot of fighting games put such, you know, such importance on their physics, and yet they somehow completely escaped the good folks at Koei Tecmo.
Well, they've got it now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving on.
I mean,
we
say sensible clothing, it is still skin tight leather that perfectly conforms to the shape of the boob.
Yeah, that's true. That is what's it there in the picture, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. I mean...
But, you know, it's a step in a direction.
They're trying. They're trying. They're doing their best.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
I'm sure that those original costumes will be available eventually as DLC.
That's the plan. It's all about the DLC.
Mark my words.
It's always about...
Which, again, in a sense, that means that only the people who want it... We'll have it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's fair.
Yeah.
Games industry pushes back against new gaming disorder classification. As we all
should, they would.
Because it's bollocks.
Different from... I don't really understand how... I mean, if you're just watching news reports about it, I'm not really sure I understand how it's different from other... addictions, if you see what I mean. I mean, obviously, it's not on... I sort of would very much hesitate to put it in with things with substance addictions, obviously, because that's completely different. Yeah. But I don't really get how it's different from... enough from, like, a gambling
psychological addictions.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
Well, the
thing
is, it isn't. That's the problem. To make it its own thing implies that gaming can give you a gaming disorder, you know.
Yeah.
If you play enough games and you'll be uncontrollably hooked on games, which is bollocks. Anyone that we've seen that exhibits mental problems that relate to video games, the mental problems are actually related to something else, and the video games is how they sort of play out in the real world. As we said about the little girl sat in the puddle of piss, it wasn't Fortnite that did that to her. She
it's
had
gonna
other...
become like a fairy tale.
Yeah,
the little girl sat in the puddle of piss.
That's a result of other problems in that child's life, not Fortnite. So,
I mean,
the game industry as a whole are quite right to fight back against this because it's bullshit.
I mean, what worries me about it is it just feels like that there's people were searching for a stick to bash a hobby they don't understand with, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely.
That's what it feels like to me. I mean, it feels like that, you know, the kids are into this thing, this Fortnite, or it's Pokemon Go, and we don't really understand it, and my kid is behaving differently. I perceive that my kid is behaving differently ever since, you know, he picked up Fortnite, and that's all he ever talks about, and that's all where everyone plays at school. So, you know, we go to the doctor and I'm worried about his behavior and blah, blah, blah. And more people are saying this. So we feel like now we have to, you know, put a label on it. And it just feels like it sort of feels like a bit like the beginning of kind of one of the moral panics, which this country is prone to. I'm not saying it's sort of on the level of like a video nasty problem, but I mean, it just sort of smells a bit of it, if you see what I mean.
It does. Exactly. I mean, no, that left my head as soon as I started talking shit.
Well, sorry. Yeah, the one thing, like last year, whenever this first started rumbling, because, you know, this is going to be with us for a while. The one thing that sort of I thought was reasonable about this was, at one point there was the idea that maybe it is a good idea to have this as a definition, not, you know, as something to beat games over the head with, but in order to help develop strategies specifically for people with, where these are their symptoms.
Right.
Of, you know, but unfortunately there is absolutely no fucking mention of that anywhere in this. And the gaming, you know, industry and community, you know, like you say, it has faced pretty much constant backlash over the years, you know, moral panics. Every, you know, generation, every time something bad is found to have happened adjacent to a video game. So they are justifiably panicked about, you know, anything like that becoming official. So yeah, I have to say this is not a good thing. No, it's not official yet. I think it still has to go through several phases of review. The article I read, article in particular, mentioned how there's a lot of backlash against who is it that puts together this the ICD.
The World Health Organization.
World Health Organization. How they are not always back. They don't always go with scientific medical data. They tend to be wooed by public opinion.
Absolutely, and lobbyists.
Right. I was unaware of that. Unfortunately, this didn't go into anything. Any specific examples?
I've seen how they behaved with vaping, and how they've taken steps to sort of quash that where they can and encourage tobacco use. And you just think, oh,
it's something old. That's rather old timey and fun. Something about that. Hey kids, get your cigarettes.
Yes,
refreshing cool. Tobacco. Yeah.
9 out of 10 doctors recommend Camels.
Yeah.
And so they've been doing that. And consequently, they have statements that people who are against vaping can point to. Go, look, World Health, I can't even fucking say it. World Health Organization say bad things about vaping and that sort of thing. So it doesn't surprise me when they're accused of doing it in other areas. I mean, do it once, you're going to do it again. So I'm on the side of the game industry in this one, as I am in a lot of cases, but... Yeah. Am I? I feel like that was a big statement to just throw out there because I couldn't think of something.
I think in this specific instance, I sort of fall on the thing of like, I don't think there's enough from obviously I'm just sort of taking it from the articles that I've read and things that I've seen on the news and things like that. I'm not sure that the burden of proof that this is sort of a distinct disorder that needs its own classification has really been met. I mean, obviously, as sort of as a layperson, obviously, I'm biased because I am a gamer. This is a hobby that I very much enjoy. And when these things happen, it's difficult not to feel somewhat tribal about it, because it sort of there is a sort of a little hint of it reflects on you because you're a person who's chosen to take up that hobby. So when you have people on the news saying Fortnite made my kid bonkers, it sort of reflect. It almost feels like you get some of the heat, which isn't fair or necessarily true. So I'm sort of in this sort of weird place of I'm not sure, because it just sort of feels like it's been put there because there's like some sort of agenda behind it rather than a genuine need that you're helping people or it's helping and I think like every single one of these things I've seen, it's been with kids playing Fortnite when the vast majority of gamers are adults.
Yeah. Sort of the one sort of thing that I keep trying to keep in mind is, even if this does, you know, pass the bar or whatever and become official, that just means it's in a book. It does not mean, you know, at the end of the day, the people who diagnose you aren't the politicians. They're not the lobbyists. It's your doctor. And most doctors, you know, they are committed and clever enough, well, in the UK at least, to not just diagnose you with something which they know to be bullshit, even if it is officially recognized.
Yeah, but I think as well, problem is, I think with psychological things, I mean, as well, I mean, all three of us have been in the system somewhat and have kind of experienced this at different levels. But a lot of doctors aren't, especially general practitioners, aren't especially well trained in mental health things. So if they have a kid and a parent, and the parent's like, all this kid does is play Fortnite, and the doctor's like, well, must be that. And, you know, and you end up in the system and all these sort of things.
I was putting my own experience on it because I've had a very good doctor. That is a completely fair point.
Yeah, I think that's the core of what sort of gives me concern about this, that it's just, it feels like that, you know, like there's parents going to GPs and saying, my kid does this because he plays games 24/7, and they feel like that it needs a label because that's kind of the zeitgeisty thing, and, you know, then people end up in the system and it's kind of not what... Because they just sort of like, oh, well, it must be that. It's kind of like everyone had ADHD for a while. Yeah, like everyone had ADHD because the kid wouldn't sit still for 5 minutes, and it's just because they're 11.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily because they've got ADHD, but that was kind of the label that a lot of people got given. Now, in some cases, they needed that, but in also, have to acknowledge in some cases, it's not. And that's what it kind of feels like with this new gaming disorder.
There
it
was
just
an
feels
outbreak.
Like we need a label for it.
I feel about 10 years ago, there was a mass epidemic of diagnoses of Asperger's.
Yeah.
It became very trendy all of a sudden. A lot of self-diagnosis as well. So, yeah, I think there is definitely a problem where people will be going, well, it's not that I'm an asshole, or it's not that there's something else going on in my life. I have a gaming disorder.
Yeah,
you have
exactly.
To respect,
you know,
that.
You got to respect that. You know, I played, you know, WoW for 26 continuous hours. I've got a disorder. It's not because I've got no self-control or there's other things going on in my life that I can't control, so all I do is play games. You know, I sort of, what worries me is these kind of, it just feels like a trendy diagnosis, and it's not actually, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, and I'm sure it does. And I remember a few years ago, there was a fella who was diagnosed with kind of the proto version of this in another country.
That influenza motherfucker in America. He's too affluent. He's used to things being so easy.
Yeah, affluenza. Yeah,
yeah, affluenza, yeah. Not influenza. Yeah. Influenza is a real thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, which one? Because that's quite a prevalent disease. Damn. But the affluenza guy. Yeah, I mean, that sort of thing a few years ago, that he's too affluent and doesn't understand the consequences of his actions. He's got a disorder. You can't send him to jail. I feel like I'm ragging on mental health professionals and all that. I'm not doing that at all. You know, a lot of them do tremendous work. I just worry about kind of a trendy diagnosis thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
personal story sort of, I think, to illustrate your point is, for years I was diagnosed with Asperger's when I was like 7, and for years everywhere I went, all the, you know, child psychologists, that was how they treated me. It was all with regards to the Asperger's. Then when I hit about 20, I started seeing this psychologist, and whenever I was talking to her about my problems, I would always talk about it in terms of Asperger's. And she would just one day, she said to me, we're not talking about Asperger's, we're talking about you.
Yeah,
let's not think about this in terms of the condition, let's just talk about you, what you thought, what you felt. Let's not blame a thing for it, let's not, you know, try to figure out how it fits into this framework. Let's just talk about you and the problems you're having. And it was so much more helpful in a much smaller space of time. I found that was so much more helpful than the years I had spent, you know, as a label.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, because I do, that's what the sort of the result is, that people end up with this label and they're like, here's some pills for it. Take his Xbox away. And it does, you know, and in some cases, maybe that makes people better.
Yourself.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, maybe then it's actually not the problem. It's a symptom of the problem. So sort of giving people this kind of capital letter label isn't really addressing anything. So I just feel like it's sort of been developed in response to sort of a trendy game that's come out, and now everyone's up in arms about it. I'm just not sure about it. That's how I feel. That's sort of how I'm feeling about it currently.
I believe it was Kierkegaard who said, "If you label me, you negate me."
I get that reference.
Oh, if only I could say it in Cantonese.
I get that reference. That's amazing.
Thank you. It would have been so much cooler if we hadn't mentioned it.
Sorry.
Oh, no, it's good. We're nerds.
Yeah. I was distracted by one of the upcoming stories anyway.
You were distracted by coming?
Okay. No, the upcoming stories. Essentially, I'm saying let's move on, I think.
Okay,
fair
just
enough.
Communicating very badly now, which is no good. Ignore the Red Shell thing. It was the Cyberpunk 2077 E3 demo specs revealed that got my interest.
Okay, so we're skipping Red Shell?
We can come back to it. I've got excited about something.
Yeah, so, me too.
So some of you will have seen the demo of Cyberpunk 2077. That has reminded me, Donald Trump's new Space Force would sound so much cooler if they would put a year after it.
Like Space Force 2018.
Something like that. But
I think that's putting a bit too... That's a bit ambitious.
In the near future.
I don't think they're going to be up there.
Space Force 2099.
I think they should go the other way. I think they should call it Space Force 2000.
Well, that would be good.
Just, say, yeah, fuck it. 2000 is still the most future. 3000 is too far away. Even 2500.
It's all too far. God, don't get me started. Anyway.
Just call it Space 1999.
Yeah. So, have you ever seen that? It's awful.
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
I've seen all of it.
Oh,
yep,
my God.
Same.
Yeah, it's awful.
Pretty much.
But anyway, so they showed off this demo that we all saw of Cyberpunk, and it blew everybody's fucking minds. And then the next question you ask is, what the hell is that running on? Because it wasn't the PS4.
No, not even the PS4 Pro.
It was, apparently, a new Intel i7 H700, 3.7 gigs. Sorry, Emma. It was 32 gigs of RAM, a GeForce GTX 1080 titanium card.
That's
the TI.
People following there. Yeah.
That's the also a PCIe SSD hard drive.
An M2, yeah.
Well, the power supply is fairly incidental. What got me excited?
Well, you say that. It is amazing that all this modern hardware can operate on a power supply running at 600 watts.
Kind
of incredible.
That is kind of incredible. So while we were talking, what I've done is I've built that PC at cyberpowersystems.co.uk.
It's not overly expensive, is it?
It's only 2,600 quid.
Okay, you've ruined what I said, but okay.
But relatively, that's not enormously expensive, considering that a pretty standard rig is about 1,500 quid.
Here's the other thing, though.
A difference of 1,100.
Yeah, the really irritating thing, though, is that if you were to have built that machine, I'm not sure when the TI edition of the 1080 came out, but if you were to build that machine 2 years ago, it would have been at least £200 to £300 cheaper.
Really?
Which is really annoying.
Because of the Bitcoin mining industry. Yeah. But
he's been paying attention.
It's significant that all these things exist. You can buy them now, and it's pretty affordable to the person on the street. I think that is headlines.
This game won't be out probably for another year at least. So in the meantime, I think we're due at the end of the year. They'll be unveiling the 1100. Series cards from NVIDIA. So it means that this is potentially even more achievable by the time the game comes out.
Yeah.
It is worth mentioning that between The Witcher 3 first being, shown off and its release, it did undergo a bit of a graphical downgrade They, you know, the footage they showed initially, they, you know, cranked it up a bit higher than they ended up being able to ship. So there is, you know, fair warning for that. But on the other hand, they did learn their lesson from that, hopefully. So we should. But the level of the other thing about this is the difference between Witcher 3 and Cyberpunk is a first person game, and it's going to be still a big open world, but a much smaller one, which means a lot more detail in things because you're seeing them close up, and they have, you know, more power to put into, you know, individual items, you know, up close. So I am optimistic. It's nice knowing that I probably could run this game on the setup that I have now.
Oh, this is so gonna get bought. Oh shit.
Rich.
I'm
not gonna do it now, but
imagine Allison's face.
Imagine Allison's fist.
I've already seen Allison's face about this today. We've discussed it. Today it's unjustifiable, but that doesn't mean it can't be made justifiable. And I wouldn't get this set up anyway. I'm just looking at it. You wouldn't get the PCIe SSD because that's just stupid money for probably not that much of a benefit. So
in fact, specifically the big benefit of SSDs and even more so M.2, you know, the PCIe cards, is loading times. And interestingly, The Witcher 3 is a game which has shown very little difference in loading times, regardless of what format what you have it installed on. They optimized it quite well in that regard.
Yeah.
So they just wanted to bring the biggest, baddest rig they had.
See, if you just take that PCIe hard drive off, it becomes...
Then we're down
to just 2100. And that's still with the 1080 titanium. So what if we drop that down to, say, a 1070 titanium?
Potentially, you could drop down the...
Would you go to the regular
RAM from 32 to 16, potentially?
Yeah. Hang on. So with the graphics, would you drop down to the 1070 titanium or the regular 1080?
Right. Okay. You would drop down to the regular 1080.
Right. Okay. That's still £233 cheaper.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you do that, and then the memory, where is that? Come on.
You could, I don't see why they need 32 gigs.
Oh, I've lost the memory now. Oh, it's just there above graphics cards. So, yeah, you drop that down to 16, and maybe even just go with the DDR4, 2400 megahertz. That's probably fine.
That's fine.
So now this PC costs £1,633, including VAT. Holy shit, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's very affordable.
To put it out there again, this is not minimum or even recommended specs. This is just them saying, this is what we had on the day.
Yeah, that is true. But at the same time, that's what they trusted to not fuck it up.
is what I would say.
So there is that to be said for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want this PC now. It's when you go to the finance option and it's like, this is 50 quid a month. You're like, well, that's less than my fucking phone.
But are you going to get rid of your phone?
Well, no, but...
So you will have to pay this in addition to your phone.
Yeah, but, you know.
And in addition to all the games you buy on all your other platforms.
Wait, hold on. I'm so sorry. I did not mean to take up the position of the voice of reason.
I think we should.
This is a justifiable business expense.
I don't know how this halo got on. Allow me to take it off and reach for my pointy steel.
I would be streaming Fortnite on Twitch. That's what I'd do.
Yeah.
And other things. In actual fact, I would use it for video production because it's far more powerful than my laptop. And that's what they're for. And I already have Adobe Creative Cloud. If you leave me with it, I'll justify this to you all you like. No problem. And then,
see, you don't have to justify it to me, Rich. You only have to justify it to yourself.
That's it.
And I think you're already there.
You're no help, though.
I am not.
This is
the same reason. That configurator is so much fun to play with.
I'm going to ring Allison right now.
Don't bother her. She's busy. She's busy. You'll disturb her and she'll shout.
At you.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So I want a new PC, everybody. That's it. Actually, you know, if you want to just donate a load of money, there are the three of us.
I was going to say, tell the people where the Patreon is.
Various different things. Tell the people where the Patreon is. Yeah. Like, I mean, ideally, we would each have a PS4 Pro, an Xbox One X, and a kick-ass gaming rig PC. So if you could sort of donate enough money so we could fill in where we're missing things. That, and in actual fact, based on what I've just said, that would mean buying all three of those things for all three of us. So if you want
to
kick
in
like 25 grand. Well,
we do know we have to prioritize Emma's PS4.
Yeah, pretty much.
I totally agree with you, actually.
That's the one thing that
fills the gap. I am the most gaming disabled out of the three of us.
We need to get you a PS4. We really do.
You do have the true gaming disorder.
Yeah, no, I don't have enough of it. Yeah.
Okay. The previous story was all about this thing that was spyware, apparently, called Red Shell or Red Shell.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it could have been the only way this could have been worse is if they called it Blue Shell.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that a. I mean, I can't believe that Nintendo don't have some sort of copyright on the name Red Shell. You would think, wouldn't you?
No, because that's a generic thing.
But what has a red shell in reality?
I bet there's lots of things.
There are no red turtles.
Crabs?
Oh, god damn you.
Yeah?
I forgot about the crabs.
Lobsters?
And the lobsters.
That has been said before, but not in this context.
I mean, look, I would rather wipe all the crabs and the lobsters off the face of the earth, put them in
delicious.
Some sort of history book.
I haven't tried one yet, so I don't know
and
whether
then,
I'm up
I assure
for this
you
genocide.
They're delicious.
I was walking through Little the other day, and I saw that they had crab meat, and I was like, ooh, crab meat. And I was like, little crab meat? I don't want that to be my first
fuck
experience.
Have you seen a lobster doing its thing, being a lobster? Fuck that.
Yeah.
they don't deserve to exist. Gross.
I was
going
to say, if you guys ever come to visit me in Yarmouth, I can take you to many a place that serve you delicious shellfish. So that is the one thing we've given to planet Earth is delicious shellfish.
They would not serve me delicious
Remember,
shellfish.
Rich,
yeah.
Rich, she is from London. This is a slippery slope to try to get us
that's
to try
true.
You.
That's true. That's it.
So, even I don't like them. They're gross.
I know. That's what she says now. Then she slips one in.
No,
you.
They're minging. They are minging.
Of
it's not
chewing
an eyeball.
Yeah,
because yeah, they're fucking eagles. But yeah, this is completely unrelated to Red Shell, who, let's see, their software is meant to help games companies measure the effectiveness of their marketing campaigns by tying information from marketing campaigns to in-game play.
Okay.
So, but it turns out that not really. What this does is it monitors your, it seemingly monitors not just your game activity, but your browsing habits. So if you click a link on a YouTube page to a game, or if you look, you know, click on links that direct you from, say, ads to the game's website or to the Steam store, it feeds that information back to Red Shell and back to the developers who have been doing this. And Red Shell, like, oh, we're not gonna sell this to like third parties, and it's like, yeah, you shouldn't have put it in there in the first fucking place.
This is spyware.
Yeah,
they should not be reaching beyond the game.
Yeah, people discovered this and started hunting for it. They discovered over 50 games, including Elder Scrolls Online, Conan Exiles, Hunt Showdown, and Civilization VI. Sean Bean, how could you be a part of this? And they've been sort of trying to wheedle it out. And as of now, 16 games have removed Red Shell or have pledged to do so in the future, which includes pretty much all the big names, Elder Scrolls, Conan, Showdown, Total War, Warhammer, Dead by Daylight. Yeah, it's not an issue of, oh, well, we weren't going to do anything with it. It's an issue of, you shouldn't have done it in the first place, you fucking parasites.
Yeah, basically. I can't disagree with you there.
Is it weird that I just sort of assume this thing goes on all the time because I've seen too many episodes of Spooks? And...
I've never seen Spooks. We need to compile a playlist, some Space 1999, some Spooks.
Don't bother with that. Just watch Spooks.
Whatever. whatever else I've been missing from my life.
Just wave some tinfoil in front of your face and, you know, be bored for 45 minutes and you have Space 1999, essentially. Okay.
Space 1999 right. pioneered the idea of props that are boxes with stickers on them. And nice. And blatantly so. You know, they've got like a tricorder, but it's a box with a light in and something written on in pen. It's hilarious. It's brilliant.
I might have to check this out. You're really selling it to
but
me.
But at the same time, it's awful.
Okay.
It's a sound... No, it's not even a sound idea.
It sounds like if they were
just
doing
watch the
it
title
as a
sequence
spoof,
on YouTube.
It could be brilliant.
Just watch the title sequence on YouTube and
the title,
that will fix you good.
The title sequence is good and it's got the exciting music and stuff like that. That it
is that
suckers
where they put
you
the
in.
Money?
Yeah. Right. The idea is that in 1999, the world is storing its nuclear waste on the moon. And one sounds day cool. there is a massive explosion which propels the moon just off out into space. And Martin Landau is the commander of the moon base that is, and then he has to deal with the fact that they're just off out in space now.
Wait, so he's piloting the moon?
No, they're not piloting anything. They're just flying
they're just
off
on
into
it.
Space.
Okay.
But that's what it is.
See, it does sound like if it was being done as a spoof intentionally, it could be fucking brilliant, like Garth Marenghi's Dark Place or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's not a spoof. It's very serious. And every week, a different alien turns up and says, like, what the fuck? Spaceships,
sometimes that,
dickheads. What?
To be
the
fair,
fuck
sometimes
is
that
this?
Person is Brian Blessed.
Yes, that does happen. So, you know. Terrible show.
If I was in space and I bumped into Brian Blessed, part of me would be like, what the fuck? But the other part of me would be like, well, of course.
Yeah. And
what else
cool.
did I expect?
Get him to say Gordon's alive. That's it. Last story of the day. This is adorable, Emma. The hottest new doll accessory is a tiny Xbox One S. What is
Look
this
at
for?
The tiny controller.
For your American girl doll. What are they?
Yep.
I have to see what these are now.
They're like sort of big Barbies.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the scale is here.
Well, from what I've seen, American girl dolls are about, I would say, kind of in the 24-inch range.
Yeah, these right. are quite okay. freakishly Oh, hang on. Right, I'm on the website. AmericanGirl.com.
Chucky, but not nearly as sinister.
I don't know. Look at that thing.
Self-expression becomes self-confidence with Truly Me. Choose now. I assume this is going to help me. Next stop, the American Girl shopping site. This site is intended for grown-ups only. I suppose I should go anyway. Let's see. No, I don't want to join your mailing list. Let's see. So they have... These are weird-looking things.
They are weird.
These are fucking weird.
Yep.
I wouldn't let my child have one of those in my house. I acknowledge that is because I've seen... Chucky.
Child's
you would you would definitely expect that if you bought that, you would wake up and it would be standing over you with a large knife.
Absolutely. Yeah. That all of these say, I'm going to kill you in the night.
It is remarkably sort of old school creepy.
How
and
much?
Also, I'm looking at it, how much are these things?
That's what I'm looking for now. Hang on. So, ooh, $100.
I have a shelf full of figures that cost me 20 quid and they have... more articulation in their 6 inches than this thing has in all of its, you know, ugh, such a, that is horrible, horrible wasted money.
Oh, but you know what? Some of these are, they've got Girl of the Year, Luciana. I know I've got what it takes to be a real astronaut. With creativity, confidence, and a serious science streak, I can launch my dream of landing on Mars, but my teamwork skills still need work. I'll have to learn how to reach others if I want to reach the stars.
Do you think NASA, as like part of the interview process, they keep track of all of the space puns that the applicants make and just rule them out? Third strike, he's out. But he's our highest score. Yeah, but could you honestly live with this motherfucker for years planning a mission?
Like, nah, I'd have to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah, $115 for Luciana doll.
Christ almighty.
Comes with a book. And that's before, you see, the thing is, she's an astronaut, but she doesn't come dressed as an astronaut. She comes in a dress of some kind. So then we move on down the page to all of her accessories. And if you'd like to buy her spacesuit, that's a further $75. If like to buy Luciana's Mars habitat, that's $350.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah. Or she has some PJs for $24. Or a robotic dog at $35. And this goes on and on and on. And suddenly you realize these people are swimming in fucking money.
How much is the hose attachment for when she has to shit into the wall?
They don't have that. Although it might
Where's the machine that allows her to recycle her own piss?
It might be part of the Mars habitat thing. Gabriella McBride. She's a dancer, an artist, and a poet out to inspire real change.
She won't be going by that name when she's dancing, though. She will be Chastity.
She's also $115 and comes with a variety of accessories.
Just for the night, though.
Just for the night. Or by the hour. Whatever you've got time for.
That is about the rate. Anyway.
Yeah. And she has
It is, you know, the figures are horrible, but the, you know, the accessory, the tiny little Xbox it is, and the little controller, that's adorable. Have you ever sat in one of those weird gamer rocker seats?
I want a gamer chair.
I want a gamer chair.
I'm too elderly for them. Just backache palooza, those things, mate.
I want a, you know, a proper, you know, gaming chair, you know, one of them that, you know, is like an office chair. But those things on the floor, I can't imagine. I'd see horrible things happening to me if I tried to enter or exit one of those.
Yeah, that is one-way ticket to the chiropractor, that thing. Get a proper chair.
Yeah.
We're all too elderly for those sitting on the floor things.
Yeah.
Oh, you can make your own doll. Hang on. These are $200.
Do I need the body parts of my enemies?
Then I could make an Alice in one and this would be amazing.
But how different are they generally? Like, I'm imagining it's all the one, you know, they have a boy cast and a girl cast, and they just cast it in hopefully different skin tones and with different hairstyles. And the rest is just, you know, all clothes.
They have different face shapes I can pick and skin tones. Let's see. I'm making a doll, Alison. This is amazing.
If you did that, if someone did that for me, I would assume that they hated me and I'd done something terrible to them.
Oh, I can give it a hearing aid. That makes it even funnier.
Why is that even funny?
What?
Because she's old. I'm not making fun of deaf people for being deaf.
You can. That is the joy of it.
Well, yeah, that's the joy of an audio-based format.
You can give a blind person the finger all day.
Yeah, can I get an elderly American doll? No, I can't.
Incontinent Mabel.
Incontinent Mabel. Really wets the bed.
Yep.
Ah, that's
it comes with an adorable pack of tenor lady.
Oh, it has outfits. God, some people love their children too much. That's all.
Again, how much of this is aimed at adult collectors? I feel like some of this is aimed at people who have a special room with boxes and boxes of American Girl toys.
And I just want to say, those people, I would like to reach out to the Funko Pop people and say, you are so much better than those American Doll people.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's pretty marginal. I don't want to yuck people's yum, but...
I know whose house that I would feel more comfortable staying the night in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would be much less concerned that the Funko Pops would come to life and consume my flesh. That's fair. If I'd walked into a house and they had the American Girl, I would assume they had bodies buried under the basement.
Plus, if they did come alive, like in Night of the Living Dummy, R.L. Stein... the Funkos would be easier to defeat because even though they have the numbers, they're all incredibly top heavy. There's giant fucking heads.
Yeah, you just knock them over.
Just knock them over and they can't get back up. The neck would just snap.
Also, it's the open flame is their nemesis. You could just throw them to death.
Yeah. Whereas the American Dolls, they have, you know, realistic proportions. They could chucky you. I really enjoy the Child's Play series of films.
I couldn't get into them. It
was not horror, but you know.
Just stand on it.
Comedies.
Just like, it's a fucking doll, mate. Just stand. I know it's got a knife and it's pissed off, but just stand on it or whatever. It's not Freddy Krueger, is what I'm saying. It's not Jason Voorhees. Or, in fact, it's a fucking doll. What have we been playing this week?
Nothing. I've been too busy. Boys, it's all over to you. I've been kept away from my beloved Xbox this week, so I'm out.
Mike.
I have finished The Witcher 3.
Oh, what? My God.
I know. I finished the DLC, Blood and Wine. I finished the story in that. I finished, as far as I can tell, all of the secondary quests, all of the treasure hunts. I still have, like, you know, map markers to go and clear out, you know, bandit camps and all that. Same with the main game. I am ridiculously overpowered. Just, you know, so I could stop playing.
But
good. I might try and get a few of the achievements.
You've changed. This game's changed you.
It has. It has.
Yeah.
I do have my next game installed and ready to go because I've been feeling the cyberpunk itch lately. I've installed Shadowrun Returns.
Cool.
Which is, yeah, it's the I got it a few years ago and I tried it out and it seemed really cool. I just wasn't in the mood for it. And I have all of its DLC, you know, over the years in like bundles and stuff. It's an isometric sort of top-down RPG set in a cyberpunk world. It's turn-based combat. You create a character, you choose your classes. I like it because it's the world is sci-fi, it's future sci-fi, but it's also mixed with fantasy. So you have all your fantasy races in there. You have your, you know, orcs, trolls, elves, all that. So it mixes normal gunplay and, you know, weapons with spells and magic with sci-fi, you know, hacking abilities. And it very story-driven, lots of, you know, branching narratives. A lot of fun like that. So I'm looking forward to trying that. But Witcher 3 is life. I did, however, think of, because I always try to come up with something, a problem with the game so that to keep me sane. I was standing in the shower this week thinking about The Witcher 3 because that's what it does to you. You can't put it down. It stays with you. But I was thinking about, you know, the combat and explaining the combat, how you have two swords in the game. You have a steel sword for humans and animal opponents. So like bears, panthers, things like that. And then you have your silver sword, which is for all your supernatural enemies. All, you know, everything that isn't a human or an animal, you use the silver sword for. And you do automatically, whenever you encounter enemies, there's a setting which is on by default where you pull out, you know, the appropriate sword to face those enemies. And I was thinking, not really a problem, but a missed opportunity in the game. I can safely say, having played the whole game, there are no occasions where you encounter a mixed group of enemies. Right. Because that could be interesting, you know, if you had to change on the fly, you had to say, okay, you know, say there were a group of humans who had tamed some trolls or, you know, ghosts who were working in tandem with animals, it would be an interesting mechanic to have to, you know, switch your sword on the fly between combos to, you know, take out the appropriate enemies. They don't do that, and it's a bit of a missed opportunity. That said, it took me till I was basically finished the game and its DLC before that occurred to me. So there you go. So that's what I've been playing. And now it's over.
I understand that, what to do. That feeling of bereftness, if that's even a word. Bereftity.
Yeah, so that's that.
You'll find something else.
No.
Yeah.
Breath of the Wild or something, I don't know.
Need a fucking Switch, you bastard.
I know you do. That's what I'm saying.
So you can play it on the Wii U and they're like, they give them away with a pack of biscuits now. Yeah,
they're nearly free now.
I can't be the guy who goes in. I can't even do that. Even online shopping, you know, I can't be the guy who orders a Wii U now.
I bet they really nearly are free on CEX because there's no justifiable reason to buy one whatsoever. None
whatsoever at all, ever.
So I don't know what they're actually. I'm looking. No, oh god, CEX has redone their menus and it's fucking awful. 85.
Yeah, the Wii U, they're no longer selling them on Amazon. Well, you can get them new and used from 22 used from £102. I'm not spending that on it.
No, don't spend that.
Not even on a new one.
So I've played some games anyway. That was the thing. Played some more Wonder Boy. That's okay. I think I mentioned that last week. I also got Owl Boy.
Are you working your way through the boys?
Apparently so, and I've only just realized that myself. This was a game that I believe, I want to say, was crowdfunded or something. Or it was either crowdfunded or took years, or was crowdfunded and took years.
I typed in Owl Bee, and the first thing that came up was Owl Babies, which I kind of need to look at now. Oh,
there's a new game for you.
Oh, cuties.
But basically, you play this owl boy. I've not really gotten deep into it yet, but it's a puzzle flying game that reminds me very much of a 32-bit era game. Like, had this been on the Amiga, I wouldn't have been surprised. And it's really nice to play. As a result, I will say more about that in detail as I play it more and have more opinion to say.
Looks nice. Yeah.
It does. It's a perfectly nice game so far, but I'm barely scratched the surface. I also got Shovel Knight because it's fucking brilliant. It's really
I always worried it would be a bit too twitchy, a bit too difficult, a bit too old school.
No, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Okay.
It's a well-made game. It plays like any modern game, even though it looks 8-bit. It's such a wonderful, fun bit of game. I love it to bits. It's grabbed my attention this week on the 3DS. But you can get it on, I think, pretty much everything that plays a game.
Yeah.
I only went for the 3DS version over the Switch version because there was a physical thing for it that comes with a nice instruction book and that sort of thing. But I now already recommend that if you like platforming games. If you don't like platformers, you'll hate it because it is one. But as platforming games go, I'm enjoying it a lot. The music is just constantly running around in my head, which is slightly frustrating because it's just chiptune stuff. But I know some people like that sort of thing. What else? I took delivery today of Professor Layton and the Curious Village, you'll be glad to know. So
hooray!
That's the first one.
Yes, the first one. So I've not again played that. That came today. Ridge Racer 3D for the 3DS.
Ridge Racer.
Yeah, I had one go on that. It's pretty good so far, actually. Bit of fun. It was the cheapy thing off Amazon pre-owned. I feel like that's been it. I think I came to the end of the main part of Hyrule Warrior Legends.
Is there a story?
There is. Oh, there's a story mode. Okay.
Does it in any way try to recognize or reconcile the fact that you have all of these different eras of characters?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that specifically is part of the story. Yeah. And I think I've reached what would have been the end of the game had I bought it on the Wii U, but because this has all the DLC as part of it, it's going on. And as it just goes on, I'm starting to lose a little bit of patience with it because it has been fun unlocking all these characters and stuff like that. And there's clearly many more to go. And it's cool seeing the cartoony ones on there, the Wind Waker ones mixing with all the others and that sort of thing. I don't know how much I'm going to continue playing it as like a main, this is what I'm playing level game.
Yeah. Do you think that a lot of people, the joy was that they played the game initially and then there was time between ending the main game and the DLC coming out?
Yeah. I think that's going to be I think that was a help.
That can be a problem with a lot of games when you buy like the Game of the Year edition. Not The Witcher 3, though. That was a delight from start to finish.
Yeah. And so I think the gameplay in this one is not very varied, to say the least. It's very satisfying as a mechanic, but it's not that varied. And when you start to get the feeling like, oh, I'm still playing this game. Didn't they do the thing where I beat Ganon and they put the Master Sword back and went, now they live happily ever after. And then you think that's the end. And then there's a whole new level of, oh, they thought that was the end, but then this shit went down. You're like, oh, okay, this feels like DLC.
You have more than one Ganon, I would imagine.
That's true. There's lots of things in it.
You have multiple Ganai.
Yeah. Ganises.
Ganopods.
That's where they grow when they're little. So I will probably dip back into it. I'm also still fucking playing Metal Gear Solid 5. I don't.
I love how much you're hearing this.
I know, and I can't stop. I was playing it this morning and last night. I play it whenever Allison isn't playing Yakuza 0. The rest of the time, I just play on the Switch and the 3DS.
Is she still playing that?
Oh, yeah. She was bowling when I came up here.
Well, now you know that you'll be able to get her Yakuza Kiwami 1, so you can just branch right into that.
Exactly. In fact, I've nearly ordered it today because it's going to come up.
You may as well have it in a shelf for, you know, in a drawer for when you inevitably do something terrible.
Exactly.
Something on hand.
Oh, do I have to buy the fucking steelbook?
She might like steelbooks. You don't know. You don't know her that well.
It's my shelf they go on.
Does she not have her own shelf?
No. We have a game library. Can't have Allison's stuff and my stuff. We've been together for 14 years. I don't have stuff anymore. There just is stuff. That's Emma knows what I'm talking about. It must be the same for everybody. You don't even have your own room anymore.
I've got my own room.
I kind of have a little bit up here. In that it's so dirty and messy, she won't come up. I think that's all my gaming for this week. Oh, and Fortnite on everything. It's just so easy. The mobile version is surprisingly good. I like the mobile version. But also, it's plenty good on the Switch. Also played the Mac version and the PC version. PC version runs better on my Mac, but none of them run as good on the Mac as my phone.
That's weird.
It's frustrating. Mm. It's really fucking frustrating.
I can't even unscramble that sentence.
It's I don't know what
I
to
don't
tell
care
you.
To either.
Yeah. The 1080p display on my phone that is powered by that, what is it, the A10 or A11 processor, whatever's in the iPhone. Yeah. So not even the current iPhone. Not even the current iPhone, and it runs it like a dream. Fortnite on your phone. But put it on your Mac, it runs like ass. It's terrible.
Weird.
And it's because the graphics chip in my computer is probably worse than the one in my phone. So that's what gets you looking at gaming PCs. That's what does it. You realize how ludicrous your life is and decide to do something about it. Thank you for listening to our show, everybody. If I've been weird tonight, I felt a little weird. I'm sure it's been fine.
It's only weird if you draw attention to it, which you've just done.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Never mind. Thank you for listening, everybody. Get on over to simplysyndicated.com/everything and get yourself the ad-free versions of this show and all the other shows we make, like Movie News and The Greatest Show in the Galaxy about Doctor Who and all the others. There's loads of them. There's loads of them.
Because the more of his podcast you listen to, the sooner he gets that PC.
That's it. That is. And the sooner Emma gets a PS4 and the sooner Mike gets an Xbox.
I want the Switch.
Do you want the Switch? Of course.
I want the Switch.
Well, then Emma should get a Switch as well. We should all have a Switch.
We should all have a Switch. I've been tempted this week, but anyway.
And then we can talk about the game. I mean, that's the reward, isn't it? Ultimately, it's not like buy as a present. It's like if we all have it, then we can talk about it. And play
isn't there the risk
games.
Though that if we did all have the same systems and we were all playing the same games, that, you know, when it came to talking about games, one of us would go, "Oh, I've been playing this week," and we both go like, "Yeah, we know all about it. It's good. Next."
Yeah, but it'd be fine because we could then have a discussion about that game.
But then I suppose at that point we would have all the systems, so therefore we would have no real incentive to put any effort into the show anymore.
Exactly,
and that's the dream.
Yes. So, we'll be back next week with more gaming news, everybody. We'll see you later. Bye-bye. You've retired the thing at the end of the show.
I've retired the thing. The thing is retired. It is not coming out of retirement. It is not a fucking wrestler.